the Office of Federal Procurement Policy is about to toughen up the rules for interagency contracting. Dan Gordon is the administrator of OFPP. He told a Senate committee yesterday the new regulations will add some more discipline to a process he says has run amok over the last decade. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details on the new rule. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
So why does Dan Gordon think interagency, well, you can tell us what it is first, but why does interagency contracting need to be tamed, and how will this new rule do it?
Well, as we've reported over the last year or even more, the proliferation of interagency contracts, we're talking about government-wide acquisition contracts, we're talking about blanket purchase agreements, we're talking about anything that's considered that more than one agency uses it, that can use, has gone through the roof. The numbers, the cost to vendors, the cost to government, it's in the tens of millions of dollars every year. Every agency seems to have one of these multiple award contracts. And while many are just for the agency to use, OFPP and Congress are very concerned about agencies are duplicating the government-wide contracts that are out there, such as a line from the General Services Administration or the National Institutes of Health, CIOSP2, for both of these are for IT services, and that's where we're seeing most of the duplication is around technology services. Again, this costs the government money. It also costs the government people time because they have to administer the contracts, do the bidding process, go through all those steps. As you mentioned, Dan Gordon, the administrator at OFPP, he, like many of his predecessors, recognizes this as a growing problem, again, in terms of cost, but also in terms of duplication, and the Government Accountability Office put interagency contracting on its high-risk list since 2005. Gordon says OFPP's policy guidance and management controls over interagency contracting have not kept pace over the last decade, and he says the new rule will bring the interagency contracting back under control.
We will soon be issuing guidance that requires agency to develop business cases to support their decisions to create a new contract. While in many ways this is based on the success of the business cases we use in connection with government-wide acquisition contracts, by the way, a model that was commended and recommended for broader use by the Acquisition Advisory Panel a few years ago, the new business cases will expressly require that agencies consider whether their new contract might be causing duplication with existing vehicles, and they're going to need to justify why they think a new contract would be needed.
The business case would also have to include the anticipated usage within and outside the agency proposing the new contract. It also have to talk about the value of the contract. We're not talking about the money here, but the value to the current contracting options. What does it add? Why do we need this new contract, that type of value? As well as the agency will have to justify its suitability to award and administer the contract. Additionally, the business cases would include the identify for costs for awarding and managing the new contract, including the amount of fees that the agency customers would have to pay and how those fees would be set. So they're really asking agencies, OFPP wants to ask agencies to take a really deep dive in terms of you really need to prove that this contract is necessary. The rule would cover all government-wide acquisition contracts, multi-agency contracts, and blanket purchase agreements. OFPP issued this interim rule in December, accepted comments through February, and now will issue the final rule in the coming weeks. Gordon says he wants to make sure the business cases that they're requiring really do meet the agency's needs. They're not going to be an added burden, and that's why we're not quite ready yet.
Jason, the Obama administration has focused quite a bit on improving contracting and competition. So how does this fit into that effort?
Well, Gordon says interagency contracting is getting that under more control is one of the three efforts to improve acquisition that he actually talked about yesterday during a hearing at the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. The other piece to that is strategic sourcing, which really is very similar to interagency contract. They're kind of kissing cousins, if you will, but it's also different and more challenging in many ways. Gordon says strategic sourcing is trying to take advantage of the government's buying power, eliminate duplication so there's not a bunch of small contracts all sitting in agencies, and obviously save money. In fact, Gordon says too often agencies award BPAs that are very narrow and serve only a specific customer.
We are troubled, I am personally troubled, that we have this proliferation of agency and often component-specific BPAs. We don't know anything about it. If you ask me how many BPAs exist under the schedules, the answer is I don't know. We have no visibility into BPAs, and as a result, we have started an effort several months ago where we're making some progress working with GSA, so we will have a way for agencies to learn about BPAs. With improved visibility, I'm hoping that we can reduce the duplication and consolidate our procurement volume.
So Gordon points to the BPA for office supplies that GSA awarded back almost about a year ago. He says that 74% of those dollars have been awarded to small businesses, and the government actually saved 10% over the costs for office supplies previously that they were paying. GSA also just released a request for information for wireless services and devices for a new BPA that would come under the Strategic Sourcing Initiative, and another one that's coming in soon for multifunctional devices for printing, copying, and faxing. So they have a bunch of that are getting teed up. Gordon says GSA also recently launched a knowledge management portal where studies, market research, spend analysis, all developed in connection with strategic sourcing are posted for all agencies to use. And now the third piece, we talked about managing interagency contracting, strategic sourcing. The third piece, Gordon says, is data. We've got to have better data, understanding where the spend is. Gordon says OFPP and GSA are considering developing a database that's going to list all GWACs, BPAs, and interagency contracts, but he says he also may use a commercial database. In fact, they're looking at one from Acquisition Solutions, the ASI government firm. So it'll be interesting to see which direction they do end up going.
And we were speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Now, the changes Dan Gordon spoke about came during a Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee hearing on GAO's recent report on duplication across government. This is one of many examples. Do you feel the committee was satisfied with the steps OMB is taking to reduce duplication?
Yeah, the short answer to that is no. You know, across the board, committee members wanted more examples, what steps were being taken, give us more evidence that the administration is using GAO's work to improve the efficiency and reduce duplication. Now, to be fair to OMB, GAO only released this report about 3 months ago, so it takes some time to make major changes to shut down programs. And additionally, about one-third of all the programs that GAO highlighted actually need congressional approval for changes. So this is not administration can just start, you know, turning the lights off in places. It really takes a lot of work. Gene Dodaro is the Comptroller General, and he explains what the administration and Congress could take on immediately. Listen to this exchange between Senator Susan Collins and Dodaro.
Where should we start? This report is overwhelming in many ways because it does transcend agencies. There are so many programs. Where should Congress start?
There's a number of areas that we recommend that either bills have been introduced or the administration's made legislative proposals. For example, in the government pension offset area, this is an area where for federal workers, if under survivor benefits, the pensions offset to account for the fact that federal workers don't contribute to Social Security. Well, neither do some of the state and local entities, but the Social Security Administration does not have the information necessary to be able to offset those pension costs. We've recommended, the administration's proposed legislation to require IRS to collect simple information. They're going to add one line to a form. That's estimated by CBO to ultimately save the government $2.4 to $2.9 billion.
Now, Dodaro says there's other examples, too. Take the ethanol tax credit. That could save the government about $5.7 billion. And finally, there's actually $640 million sitting in an account in Customs and Immigration Service over at DHS that Congress hasn't authorized them to use yet. And that also, as Dodaro said, could offset future costs. Lieberman plans to have the committee write a letter to OMB and the agencies to find out what steps they're taking to reduce duplication. Dodaro says the letter's good, but he explains in this exchange with committee chairman Joseph Lieberman why a different kind of oversight is needed.
In these program areas, the agencies individually can only take so much action. I'll illustrate with teacher quality. Of the 82 programs, the Department of Education has the bulk of them, but by no means has control over the other programs. There are 10 different agencies that have those programs. So in most of these areas, in addition to the agencies and what they can do, the administration really needs to take a cross-cutting approach across the agencies. OMB has to take a leadership role.
It has to come from OMB.
Yeah.
And I assume that in some cases this will require congressional action too, because a lot of these programs are authorized by law.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. They'll require legislative change. In fact, a number of these areas are up for reauthorization, education area, surface transportation. So they're perfect opportunities right now to really make some headway.
So Lieberman also promised to have another hearing to get an update on agency progress later this year, and GAO, for its part, is working on 2 follow-up reports assessing agency projects progress. So obviously this issue is going to continue to be followed closely all across the board, Congress, GAO, and the administration.